Pastor Tony Gurulal. We're out here in India, Bangalore. This is April 2025. Pastor Tony, good to have you with us this morning.
Pleasure.
Pastor Tony, a couple of questions on the book of Genesis. Brother Brown speaks of another civilization. He also speaks about the difference between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Can you give us a little bit of exegesis on this?
Well, Brother Louis, Brother Branham, in his describing of the book of Genesis, called it the seed chapter. And of course, there are many reasons why you can call Genesis the seed chapter, or the gene chapter, or the beginning. And as we know, everything begins with a seed. A seed potentially has everything that is needful. And so the seed chapter is a seed chapter concerning civilization as we know it. But civilization as we know it can be taken at many different intervals. That's why there are so many different beginnings in the Bible. There's the beginning of Abraham's line. There's the beginning of the human line. There's the beginning of the elect line. There's the beginning of the servant seed line. So there are many beginnings within that one beginning. And of course, he called the book of Revelation the consummation, or the full cycle, when the seed of all disciplines that are in Genesis, whether it be science, whether it be religion, whether it be politics, everything has its origin and in Genesis. And of course, we know it has its climax in the book of Revelation. Now, concerning Revelation or Genesis 1:1, before I start there, let me say this, that the book of Genesis, like any other book, can be approached in three different realms, as the prophet taught. First is the human study of the book of Genesis, where humanity, in studying the book from a human perspective and with human abilities, apart from any God-given ability, can, of course, come up with many wonderful truths concerning the book of Genesis and its origin and the origin of civilization. And that's called the humanistic realm. And of course, that's can be quite enlightening. Second, there is the revelation realm, that which the Spirit gives to gifts that are allow them to take word upon word, line upon line, and precept upon precept, and form a picture of what God was doing, saying, and what he wanted us to come to know concerning. And we call that the revelation realm. And that's not given to one man in one season at one time. That revelation realm is given over a period of time, which accumulates until Revelation 10:7. And when Revelation 10:7 comes, he adds the portion that has been hidden with the portions that have been revealed, and then we can get a full picture. And then there is the prophetic realm. The prophetic realm works only in junctions of time, when a certain gift comes to bring an enlightenment and an understanding that no other gifts or realm can reach. Pastors cannot reach it, teachers cannot reach it, apostles cannot reach it. And that's the prophetic realm, in the realm where God speaks to a prophet one-on-one and show him things that are beyond the fivefold gifts. And in the sense of even minor prophets are not able to go there. And that's the realm that God took Moses up when he wrote the book of Genesis. He took him up because Moses lived in a certain season before the beginning. And so how did Moses document such wonderful truths concerning God creating civilization? And so you can begin to see that there's much to be appreciated when looking at Genesis. The humanistic aspect has many truths, but many errors also. And the revelation realm has limited amount of light and truth, and depends on the next age where God enlightens more. The prophetic realm also is given in measures and junctions of time until we come to the final junction, which is Revelation 10:1, which is connected to Revelation 10:7, which brings the book of Revelation into a full consummation and gives us a complete picture of not only the creation, but the purpose of God's creation, what God had in the back part of his mind. Now, I want to invite you to look at Genesis 1:1, when it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So therefore, if you look at that statement, it is very different from the statements where God created and said, "Let there be light." There is no "let there be" commandment spoken in Genesis 1:1, but we find, "Let there be light," and then God separated the light from the darkness. And then he said, "And the evening and the morning was the first day." So you notice there is no first day documentation in Genesis 1:1, which means we are speaking of two different forms of God forming and God creating and God dispensing what we now know as a measure of time. So in Genesis 1:1, there is no beginning and evening and morning and a new and a first day. Also, if you notice in Genesis 1:1, since there is no limit given on time, no decree of separation of light and darkness, you will notice then that the earth must have been in a different position with the sun. Now, I spent some time in an article recently, probably about 2 weeks, and during that period of time, there was no night, 24 hours of light. And that is because of the position of the earth in relation to the sun. Now, if you were to examine Genesis 1:1, you would come to the potential insight that the earth in Genesis 1:1 was not in the position that we know it from Genesis 1:2. Genesis 1:1, because there was no measure of light or time, because in Genesis, from Genesis 1:2 down, you notice God is putting a limit and a measurement with time, not only for the day and for the night, but also he eventually put a limit for man and a boundary. He put a boundary to the sea, to the ocean. And so we see boundaries being placed. But in Genesis 1:1, there was no boundary. Because there was no decree of a tree of life and death. If there was no death, then there was just perpetual life. So we would believe that in Genesis 1:1, that the earth enjoyed perpetual life, seeing that death was not introduced to civilization. If I were to say that, then I would have to say that God did not put a boundary to day and night. And that not only was civilization in a perpetual state, but time was also in a perpetual state. Then we know that something changed, because the prophet also told us that there was a civilization before the Adamic civilization. And Brother Bram began to say, when artists begin to draw Adam and Eve and draw them in very unfavorable ways, Brother Bram says, you know, that's not the way that Adam and Eve were. And he started using the statement that the serpent was a prehistoric being. Prehistoric meaning before Moses' documentation. So Moses documented history, but there was a history that Moses did not document, and that was Genesis 1:1. He only decreed by God that there was a time that existed and a civilization that existed in Genesis 1:1. So therefore, there were creatures that were living in Genesis 1:1 civilization. There was seed that was from Genesis 1:1 civilization, and the prophet made that statement even in the opening of the seals. He said the seed was laying under the water from a previous civilization. My question is, where did the water come from? Because in Genesis 1:2 says, you know, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Where did the waters come from? Was waters created in Genesis 1:1? And where did these seeds come from? They certainly were not created in Adam's civilization, because the Lord said, let the earth bring forth of the herb yielding seeds. It did not say, and God created seeds. And so you begin to see that Genesis 1:1 holds tremendous, tremendous great truths. And one of those truths is the existence of an animal kingdom and a serpent class kingdom, as men look just like men but didn't have a soul. Mm. And they lived in that civilization where Adam was not, there was no Adam to be given a title deed to, so because there were no sons, and since there were no sons, no one inherited the earth. The earth belonged to the Lord. And there was no title deed decreed in Genesis 1:1 because there were no sons. A man causes his sons to inherit.
Mm.
And God had no sons. Therefore, stewardship of taking care of the earth was committed to Satan and to the angels. And that is where Satan was given such power and ability with creation in his hands to be a steward over it. And that's where he exalted himself and wanted to create a civilization where he can have preeminence in. If we were to follow Genesis 1:1, we will also notice now that with the limitation that there was no evening and morning for a new day, which meant the earth itself was in a different position in relation to the sun. And you can take an article, for instance, where they have a season of only 24 hours of day. And I believe that that was a type of what was a condition in Genesis 1:1. And with the introduction of perversion by Lucifer, by hybriding the different animals, the different classes of animals, because that is Lucifer's nature. He cannot change. He is a adder and a takeaway or a crosser of species, which the serpent types in the garden. And he introduced the first knowledge the serpent introduced to the woman was a lie, which is a perversion of truth, which translated in a perversion of a true creation, which is a woman, in a crossbreeding with a lower creation. So if we were to follow that pattern, we would see that Satan would have introduced the hybriding of these dinosaurs of different classes and a serpent class that was there in Genesis 1:1, because the prophet called the serpent prehistoric.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice that when you cross creation, it introduces characteristics that God did not place in man, which is the characteristic for violence. And violence filled the earth because hybriding flesh and DNA puts different characteristics to those that new life. And part of the characteristics of that new life is violence. It is the changing of the diet to include meat. Mm. And if you need meat, you need to kill. If you need to meat, you need to kill, you need to eat. then you need now not to, because high breathing weakens the body. Now he cannot go out there and hunt because he's getting older. He's not perpetually living. So he needs to find a way to keep his food source. And that way to keep his food source, he turns into farming and animal rearing, which means he has to capture them. He has to breed them so that they'll develop into a species that will not run away like chickens. Chickens are birds, but they don't really fly and get away. So, but to domesticate them in such a way that he always has an ample food supply. And so it changed Genesis 1:1. As it began to be corrupt, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, I think it's chapter 30 or 31, I'm not very clear, I hadn't used it for a long time. It says a couple of reasons why, four reasons why the earth is disquiet. And one of those is when a serpent rule it. And when Lucifer began to observe such authority over creation, like he's the owner, he created a new species, he created a new civilization. He becomes the god of that Genesis 1:1. And that's when God allowed a meteor, which is a type of a fallen star that has a tail, when it comes through the atmosphere and struck the earth. You say, well, how do you know this? Well, when God created the heaven and the earth, he had to create it perfect. And where did the crack of the mantle of the earth come from? Where did the ring of fire come from, which means the earth was cracked? And that is the scars from the original judgment with the first Genesis 1:1 creation and Lucifer. And that is how you have the ring of fire. And with that cracking of the earth, the volcanic eruptions that erupted within a matter of hours had covered the earth with such volcanic dust and ash and gases that it cut off the sun. It moved the earth into a different position with the sun, covered the sun, and froze everything on the earth. And that's where they were able to find these gigantic mammoth and dinosaurs and animals and so, but even food still in their stomach. Because it was like Pompeii. When Pompeii erupted, and the prophet said it would be worse as the day of Pompeii, it erupted in such a manner the gases took the people, and the people died, you know, clutching their children. People died while sitting on a table, you know. And I also had an opportunity to visit Pompeii a couple of times, and it's Mount Vesuvius, and you could see the people still in molten, you know, where they put those plaster of Paris and formed, kept their forms and so forth, that they were in their routines of life. Now, if you consider Genesis 1:1 one more time, when it struck the earth, it moved the earth, cracked its mantle, positioned it different from the sun, but the sun had, you couldn't tell because it was so dark, it covered everything. And then in the seal book, the prophet told us the secret. He said, and the message also, let there be light. He said, over a period of time, the dust and the ashes begin to settle back on the earth. And when God said, let there be light, he was not creating the sun in Genesis 1:2. He now allowed the sun to shine through because now the dust and ashes and so forth had settled. And now you have arrived at Genesis 1:1.
Thank you, Pastor Tony. We will be back with another question, believers. God bless you.